I'm going to be reading Romans chapter 8, verses 34 through 39. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are as no, more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Good morning, church. As you can tell, it's a little different this morning. We're going to do some things a little bit differently. It's hard for me to believe that this is the last Sunday before Christmas. And it seemed like just about a week or two ago we were doing Halloween, and now Christmas is here. But we're going to do things a little differently this morning. We're going to start our time together, our lesson time together, with a little story time. And so I want to invite all the youngsters, all the kids up here, all the little ones. If you guys, well, some aren't little anymore. Some of you guys, come on up here. You guys come on up if you want to. Come on up. And if you're young at heart, please come up here and we're going to share a little story time together. If you're young or young at heart, I see a few of them coming. Just come right up here and just find you a place to sit right back here. Lay out here and let everybody out there see all your beautiful smiling faces. There you go. Awesome. That's perfect. All right. Good. Who else is coming? We got Soldier here. We got Hendrix here. We got, who do we have? Who do we have, little ones? And if you're young at heart, you're welcome too. I did this once. Now, Carson's young at heart. He's not youngster anymore, but he's young at heart. I don't blame you, brother. I feel the same way sometimes. That's all right. We don't have to if we want to. But anybody who wants to come up here, welcome to come share. All right. We've got a handsome and beautiful crew here this morning. Anybody else? Oh, here comes Hendrix. Right? Good, good. Another handsome fella. Another handsome guy. I said this once for young at heart, and I had an elder in his 70s come up here and sit down. Anybody else young at heart? And by the way, after we all sat on the floor for a few minutes, he bounced up quicker than I did. You're perfect. I'm sorry? Well, if he behaves, I don't think we have any problem with him behaving. How are you guys doing? Y'all doing all right? I need to get the storybook up here, don't I? We need to get the right stuff here, don't we? Are y'all ready for Christmas?
Yep.
Are you ready? Have you told Santa what you want? Mm-hmm. Have you? Have you been good? Mm-hmm. Are you sure? Carson's like, no, I don't know. We'll see how. Carson's the honest one here. He's like, we'll see how things go. We'll see how it works out. Have you guys ever heard the story of the tale of the three trees? Have you heard that one? Is it new to you guys? Have y'all heard it? Some of y'all heard it? It's one that we started when our kids were little, when our grown-up kids were y'all size, we started telling, reading stories at this time of the year. And some of them were about Santa and some were about Jesus. But we just read stories. And this is one that meant a whole lot to us. So can I share that with you guys? Y'all okay with sharing a story together?
Yeah.
All right. Let's read. Oh, good. We've got more. Come on up here, sweetheart. Perfect. This is the tale of three trees. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. They dreamed of what they wanted to be when they grew up. The first little tree looked up at the stars, twinkling like the diamonds above him. Oh, thank you for coming up here. I want to hold treasures, he said. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I'll be the most beautiful treasure chest in the whole world. The second tree little tree looked out at the small stream. I was a young at heart. This small stream trickling on it by its way to the ocean. He said, I want to be a strong sailing ship, he said. I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings, and I'll be the strongest ship in the world. The third tree looked down at the valley below where busy men and women walked in busy town. He said, I don't want to leave this mountaintop. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they'll raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I'll be the tallest tree in the whole world. Years passed, the rains came, the sun shone, the little trees grew tall. One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. The first woodcutter looked at the first tree and said, this tree's beautiful. It's perfect for me. With a swoop of his shining axe, the first tree fell. Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest, thought the first tree. I shall hold wonderful treasure. The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said, this tree's strong. It's perfect for me. With a swoop of its shining axe, the second tree fell. Now I'll be a mighty ship sailing the mighty waters, the second tree thought. I'll be a ship built for kings. The third tree felt her heart sink when the last woodcutter looked at her and she stood straight, tall and proud, bravely pointing to heaven. But the woodcutter never even looked up. Any kind of tree will do for me, he said. With a swoop of his axe, the third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to the carpenter shop, but the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. Instead, his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was now covered with gold and filled with treasure, was now covered with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took him to a shipyard, but the mighty sailing ships weren't being made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sawed into a simple fishing boat, too small and too weak to sail the ocean, and even a river. Thank you, girls. I'm glad y'all came. And even a river. So every day he brought in loads of dead, smelly fish. I'm liking this. Yeah, y'all are greatness. You're doing good, Henry. All right. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in the lumberyard. What happened? The once tall trees wondered. All I ever wanted to do was stay on the mountain and point to God. Many, many days and nights passed. The three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman put her newborn baby in the feed box. I wish I could make a cradle for him, her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled as the starlight shone on the smooth and sturdy wood. This manger is beautiful, she said. And suddenly, the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure in the whole world. One evening, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into the old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed into the lake. Soon, thundering, thrashing storm arose. The little tree shuddered. He knew he did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the wind and the rain. The tired man awakened. He stood, stretched out his hand, and said, "Peace." The storm stopped as quickly as it started. And suddenly the second tree knew he was carrying the King of Kings of heaven and earth. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled. When her beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile, she flinched as she was carried through an angry, jeering crowd. She shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hands to her. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It had made the first tree beautiful. It had made the second tree strong. And every time people thought about the third tree, they would think of God. That was better than being the tallest tree in the whole world. That's the tale of the three trees. Thank you guys for sharing that with me. I appreciate it. I've got a little treat for you guys, okay? For y'all coming up here and being brave and looking at all these people as they're staring back at you. Would you pick up one of these when you go back to your seat and go back to your mom and dad? All right, we're good. We're good. Y'all jump up and grab one, all right? Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. And girls? Good job. And if you've got a little brother or sister back there in the pew that didn't make it up here, take them on too, okay? You want to take that one with you? All right, that's yours. Good man, thank you. I appreciate y'all sharing that time with me and with the little ones. The holidays are a very unique and special, even, may I say, miraculous time of the year. Because for one short season, the world seems to make a miraculous transformation. News organizations that normally focus on the tragic and the horrible start focusing their attention on stories like restaurants that stay open to feed the hungry on Thanksgiving, or Santa visiting the children's wing at the hospital. Individuals who usually spend most of the year trying to avoid people in need actually search out people in need and look for ways to help them. And shoppers buy gifts for people they've never met and will probably never, ever meet and see through things like the littlest angel Christmas tree, or gifts for shut-ins at the nursing home, or care packages for soldiers who are overseas. And people who might never, ever speak Christ's name throughout the year speak it to friends and family and even strangers as a kind of a blessing. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. This is a season that speaks of God's love. So is the tale of three trees. The tale of three trees is a tale not only of three trees, but also of God's love. It's an old American folk tale. Nobody really knows where it came from. Nobody knows the origins of it. There's no author to credit for the story. But it's a story that's touched families for generations, and it's touched our family as well. And I wanted to share it with you and with my church family this holiday season. It is a story of three trees, but even more than that, it's a story of God's love. It's a vehicle for telling us about God's love. And as you saw as I was talking with the kiddos, it starts with three beautiful trees on the top of a beautiful mountain. And all of them have dreams of what they want to be when they grow up. The first one wants to be a treasure chest and hold beautiful gems and pearls and be the most expensive, beautiful treasure chest in the world. The second wants to be a strong sailing ship to sail the seas and carry kings across mighty waters. And the third wants to be the tallest tree and stay on the mountain so it can point to God. And this speaks of our dreams. Most of us grow up with dreams. We dream of what we want to be, and maybe we dream of being a mermaid or a superhero. Maybe we dream about being an astronaut or a professional athlete, a professional actor. Maybe we dream about being a fireman or a policeman. We grow up with dreams of what we want to be, and this speaks of humanity and our dreams. My oldest granddaughter wants to be a YouTube star. Never once was that on my list growing up. I didn't. That's a whole new one for me, a YouTube star, an influencer, I think the word goes. So we all have our dreams and desires. But as the story with the three trees goes, one day three woodcutters climbed the mountain and cut down the trees. When the first woodcutter cut down the first tree was excited to go to a lumberyard. Now we're going to be a beautiful chest that holds great, great precious pearls. The second one was taken to the shipyard and think, now I get to be made into a great sailing ship and carry great kings. And the third one just was confused. All the third tree wanted to do was stay on the mountain and point to God. And so the three woodcutters take each of theirs to their shop. And the first tree is not made into a beautiful treasure chest, but a wooden box for feeding animals, filled with hay, covered with sawdust. The second tree is not made into a beautiful seafaring ship, but a small fishing boat, not fit for the sea, not fit for an ocean, and carries stinky, dying fish every day. And the third tree is taken to a lumberyard, cut into strong beams, and then left in the lumberyard, curious what to do. By the way, you get to enjoy the book just as the kiddos did. That crease in the middle is the crease in the middle of the book, so you get to enjoy it the same way they did. This picture speaks to our dreams, and for most of us, and I say this with all kindness, for most of us, the dreams we had when we were kids don't always pan out. Few of us turn into mermaids or superheroes. A few professional athletes and actors. There are some who live out their dreams, but for most of us, we don't fulfill those dreams. But the point of God's love and the point of the tale of three trees is that that doesn't mean our dreams are wasted. Because along the way, the three trees do, in one way or another, fulfill their dreams. One night, a woman places her newborn baby in the feed box. That was the first tree. And the moment this newborn baby is laid in the box, the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure of all. Luke speaks of this in his gospel, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." The story of the first tree is the story of Jesus as the greatest treasure in all the world. One evening, a tired traveler asleep in the old fishing boat is wakened to find a storm. He wakes up, he stretches out his hand, and he says, "Peace, be still." And the storm obeys him, and in that moment, the second tree knew she was holding the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mark records this in his gospel, Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 36. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, "Quiet," or "Peace, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm, and he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The story of the second tree is the story of Jesus as the King of heaven and of earth. And then, on a dark and dreary Friday, a Friday morning, an innocent man is put to death on the third tree, the tree that only wanted to point to God, the tree that wanted to stay on the mountain and point people to God. And the tree felt ugly and ashamed. But then came Sunday morning, and everything changed. That's when the third tree knew that it would always point to God. Matthew, in his gospel, speaks of this. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Now I've told you." So the woman hurried away to the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you'll see me." The story of the third tree is the story of Jesus and the risen Savior. And the whole point of this part, the point of the season, is that we ought never underestimate the power of God's love. Brody read for us out of Romans chapter 8. And in that passage, verse 37, it says, "Now in all these things," there's threats from the physical realm, threats from the spiritual realm, threats from life, threats from death, and the promise that's made in Scripture is, "In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us." That's the story of God's love. We are more than conquerors through God who loves us. Just as God's love allowed the first tree in this fable to hold the greatest treasure of all, God's love allows you and me to be the temple in which the Holy Spirit lives. Just as God's love allowed the second tree to experience calm, God's love allows you and me to experience a peace of God that transcends all understanding. And just as God's love allowed the second tree, a third tree, to point people to God, God's love allows us to be the light of the world. And we're called to let our light shine before men so that they may see our good deeds and praise God in heaven before us. This is a wonderful time of the year. This is an interesting time of the year where people think of godly things and do godly things more than any other time of the year, even people who don't give God a lot of attention. But this is our day to celebrate a Savior who loves us and whom we love. I want to say Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to all. And may God give you the two greatest gifts, the two greatest treasures of all. Number one, may you fulfill your God-given purpose on this earth. May you do that which God has set aside for you to do, and that's different for each one of us. May you fulfill your God-given purpose. And the second gift is, may you receive a home in heaven with God forever in eternity. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. That's the invitation to you. If there's any way that this church can serve you, tell us, let us know. It's a pleasure, it's a treat, it's an honor to serve you. If you're at home, reach out to us, call, text, whatever. But the two greatest gifts are to fulfill your purpose, to have a home in heaven. If you're not sure of either one of those, if you're not sure where you are and where your dream is and where you fit in the big plan of God, let's spend time with that. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, let us celebrate with the angels. And if you need to come back, let us walk with you on that journey. Let's stand. Let's sing.
Contribution for the tornado relief totaled out.